parenting today. We're talking about being parents. We're talking about parents being kids. But listen, it's not just because some of you may not have children. And you go, well, then, you know what? I just wasted my time being here today. No, you didn't. Because you are a child. You're a child of God's. And so what you need to do is look at yourself in comparison to the Lord. You are the child. He is the Father. Now, granted, He's perfect, so we're always going to feel a little bit beneath, which is good because we need to. But look at yourself in that light. Say, well, my children are grown and gone. Well, you're still a child. Well, I'm old. You're still a child. You get what I'm saying? You are a child. So it is applicable to you. And I want to make sure that you apply it where it's needed, okay? When it comes to discipline, everybody takes different avenues of disciplining a child. Me personally, I hang my children upside down in the closet by the toes with the light off, the door shut, is soundproof so I can't hear them scream. Leave them there, usually about 2 hours work, but if need be, a day is not a problem. I'm kidding. Some of you are going, I can't believe he really does that. Their toes wouldn't take the pressure. I had to let them down. Just couldn't hold the weight. Some of you go, well, I would never spank my child. Okay? Some of you say, well, my child's so good, he doesn't need a spanking. Okay? I kid you not, I'm going to share a story with you. This is when I lived in North Carolina, and a friend of mine was having a yard sale. I happened to be driving by. He was outside. I said, well, his wife was having a yard sale. He was just working it for her. And so I stopped by, and I said, hey, man, how you doing? Well, in the process of talking to him, somebody pulls up, and she gets out of the car, and her son gets out of the car. Now, her son is probably 9, 10 years old, somewhere around there. And he starts acting up really bad. So the mother tells him to stop. Of course, he doesn't listen. So the mother tells him to stop again. Of course, he doesn't listen. So then the mother goes, I wanted to hit the mom. The mother goes, don't make me count to three. And the boy goes, 1, 2, 3. And the mother went on shopping. Oh, man. That boy would have been counting all to three quite a bit in remembrance of me. Being on his bottom end, you know what I'm saying? But kids today they're off the chart. Not all. I know in here, you kids are fantastic. You're awesome. You never argue with your parents. You're great kids. You always listen. You're never grounded, never get in trouble, never get anything taken away, never get spanked, and your parents just sing glory for you every day. So I know this doesn't involve you, but just in case it should, you might want to think about applying it, okay? I got mothers looking at their kids looking at their moms and dads, And then they're thinking, wait until you get home, boy. There are several different forms of punishment. One of them could be giving him a plane ride. You know? That could be punishment, right? Let's see them on going on a plane ride. There you go. That might get his attention. You know, and make him think a little bit. About what's going on, you know, and make him really just say, okay, mom, dad, I'm sorry. But not everybody can afford a plane ride. Let's face it, not everybody has the kind of money to take him to the airport. How many have a car? Okay, we can try the car bit. That would work. There you go. 99 mile an hour in the back. For those of you who didn't get it. And some even say that this works with grandchildren. You know, it's whatever it takes to bring that child into submission. That's what you want to do. All right, we're in Colossians chapter 3. If you open your Bibles today to Colossians chapter 3. And, you know, last week was Memorial Day weekend. How many enjoyed that? Had a good weekend? Fantastic. Glad you're here today. But the week before that, we were talking about husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. That went over like a lead balloon. Except for in here, because I know every one of you ladies are just godly and God loves you. And then we talked about husbands, love your wives. And I know none of you in here went, well, I love her when she deserves it and earns it. I'll give her my love. I know none of you had that attitude in here because you all love your wives so much. And so today we're talking about how to be a parent and children how to be a child that honors God. Because that's really what matters, right? I think so often when we watch parents today, somewhere along the line, parents have given all rights over to their children. Parents have allowed the children to be the parent. Parents have allowed the children, you know, first off, TV's a babysitter. Might I just add, it might be a cheap babysitter, but it's very expensive in the long run because it really warps the mind of the child. And you go, well, I'm watching SpongeBob. I challenge you to go on your computer, go onto YouTube. When you go onto YouTube, I want you to put in subliminal. Subliminal messages or subliminals, and it'll pull up SpongeBob, one of many. And your child is learning some really bad stuff. But everybody finds it cute. The underlying message is very damaging. But a lot of movies are that way and so on and so forth. And so what's happened is we gave them over to daycare. And listen, I understand some of you got to do this. I'm not knocking it. I'm just simply pointing out some of the shortfalls of the situations, okay? So if you got to do it, don't walk out here going, oh, I can't believe Pastor talking about it. He doesn't know anything. He got a wife at home. And so what does he know about daycare? But I got to have daycare. And I got to... I'm not talking about that, guys. I'm just pointing out the shortfalls, okay? Daycare. Number one, your kid would be sick all the time because of... all the other parents aren't taking care of their kids, and they send them in with snotty noses and so on and so forth. But what else do they get? They pick up all the bad habits from all the people. And you say, well, I'm godly and my home's godly. But listen, your child's in daycare 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, and you take that child home, and you're with that child an hour, and then you put the child to bed, and then you get the child up, and then you take them back, and you take them back to daycare, and there's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours in there, and so you bring them home, and you might have 2, 3 hours with them, but part of that is taking a bath, eating dinner, so you're cooking dinner, you're doing all this other stuff, and so really, do you even have an hour a day with your child? And then after that, what happens is you take them back. Now they've got 40 hours plus at the daycare, and they have 4, 5, 6 hours with you. Who do you think has the greater influence? We have to be very careful. School's the same way. We have to be very careful. And so what's happened is we have raised a generation of children that has a lot of issues that nobody's recognizing until they're adults, and then it's almost too late because it takes an incredible amount of effort to reverse that. And then if we don't have God in the home, we're not establishing the home with God's ideas and God's ideologies, and we don't have the children in church where they can at least learn something and hear truth and learn how to digest it and process it, where the Holy Spirit can work on their heart and God can start to mold them and guide them and direct them, because we're too busy doing other things so we can't even bring them to church. What chance do they have? They're not influenced by God. You're not influenced by God. Your influence is the majority of the world. What do you think's going to win? It's that white dog, black dog. Remember I talked about the white dog, black dog? Which one you feed the most is one that's going to win? Guys, which one do you think's winning in your child's life? White dog, black dog. Of course, black dog being Satan, white dog being God, the influence of which one? The one you feed the most would be the most powerful. Okay. So let's go ahead and get on this because I have to get done. We have to be done today by 11:35. So I'm not preaching long today. I know. Isn't that amazing? We're going to Skype a missionary. Yeah, some of you are going, this isn't going to happen. You're already taking bets in your row. What's up with that? I'll take that. How much do you want? Okay, I got you down. we're going to be Skyping our missionary in the Netherlands at 11:40 to 11:45, somewhere around in there. So I have to finish up so we can get him Skyped. Otherwise, I'm not respectful of his time. And I don't, you know, it's okay if I abuse your time. I don't want to abuse his. So right. Okay, let's look in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 of Colossians. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." I find it ironic that he's very specific in chapter 21, where he says, "Fathers, fathers, do not provoke your children." I think it's because moms are softer. So I've just seen some kids look at their mom like, "Who you? You don't know my mom." But I think moms are a little more softer, and dads are more full of wrath and get it done type stuff. Me, I'm very black and white, and so I have to be real careful because I realize that I'm dealing with three women in the house. That's why I killed a dog, because she was female, and I had to. It's the only way I could equal out. I really didn't. She died of old age. Women, I think, are more compassionate and softer than what the men are, unless you're like my mom, and then there was no chance of that. Okay, let's look here in 20. The principle of our role as parents, one more. The principle of parental rule. The principle of parental rule, which is chapter 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, it's obey your parents in all things. Children, all things is what it says. And we go, you know what I just did? Okay, hold on a minute, guys. No, I got it right. Okay. All right. I can't believe I lost my place like that. I'm looking at it and I go, wow, everything just disappeared. You know, invisible ink. Okay, children's obey your parents and everything. I want you to see, guys, and even as adults here who say, well, I don't have children, or I don't have children in my home, this applies to you. Don't forget that as we walk through this. You are not exempt from this message this morning. And I want you also to understand that parental rule is the first circle of authority in God's moral government of this world. Parental rule is the first circle of authority. So here's what happens. In the home, the child has to understand authority. The child has to understand that they have to respect the authority. The child has to understand that without authority in the home, without establishing in their heart when they're little and they grow up, what happens is when they get out into the world, they have no respect for authority. That's why our schools are trashed. I don't know if you've been in some of these schools. I can't believe it. We went to one in Scotia. We went to a school over in Scotia the other day, and had to go there for an event. And as we were there, and I'm looking around at the school, the lockers are trashed, the walls got holes in them, they're writing on the walls. The carpets were nasty where people... And I'm thinking in my mind, why don't people take care of anything anymore? I'll come in here at the end of Sunday or whatever, and I'll come back through the week, and I'll look on the chairs, and kids with muddy feet have walked on the chairs and got mud footprints on chairs in here. Now I'm thinking, if I'm your parent, I'm going to take that shoe, and I'm going to see measured up on that mud print, and if it's yours, there are going to be some more leather shared. But I'm just in awe of how nobody respects anything. Children have no respect today. None for authority. They look at police and they mock police. I teach fifth graders it's called Junior Achievement. Anybody here of Junior Achievement? Okay. Well, I go to the school and I teach fifth graders Junior Achievement, and I teach second graders on Mondays and Fridays. And so when I go in there and I'm talking to them, they ask me what I did for a living. I said, I'm a pastor. One child out of 18 knew what a pastor was. One out of 18. Because I said, who knows what a pastor does? And I'm looking around the room in bewilderment, and this girl finally raised her hand, and I said, what does a pastor do? And she said, you run a church. I go, okay, that's a piece of it. And so I shared what I did. As I was sharing what I did and how I ministered people and preached the gospel and stuff like that, the teacher, I love her to death, and she goes, Pastor Westfall, you go any farther, you're going to get me in trouble. And all I was doing was explaining my position, what I do, it tells me to do that. And the kids don't have a clue today. They don't have a clue. That tells me, Mom, Dad, you're dropping the ball. You're dropping the ball. Listen, if you don't correct your child, who's going to? If you don't teach your child the right way to go, who's going to? If you don't teach your child about God, I guarantee you the school and the nursery or wherever else you have them is not doing it. We're losing this generation because parents are afraid to stand up to their child and say no. And children, you are so disrespectful that you are relentless until the parents give in. It's a battle of wills. And Mom and Dad's already so tired, they just go, whatever, you're going to go get it. I don't care, I'm tired of arguing. I'm thinking, I said no, don't ask a second time. No meant no. You ask a second time, there's trouble. And you know the coolest part about that? I only got to show them I mean it once. The second time, they're not going to push the envelope. And if they do, I just got to show them I meant it again. Parents, we got to step up. Kids, you got to listen. And by the way, it's in everything. Kids, you have to listen. Adults, you have to listen to God in everything. What do you mean in everything? Everything. Think about the Old Testament. They had to listen to what God said about the way they ate, the way they dressed, the way they did their hair. Everything. What they could do on certain days, what they couldn't do, how they had to pray, everything. It's no different today. Except for we don't have to sacrifice animals for forgiveness. So we don't have to get the doves and the goats and the calves and all that. We don't have to do all that. Of course, sometimes we'd like to sacrifice our children. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. But listen, in everything, parents, under the authority of God, set the standards, they define the limits, and they enforce the rules. And when you fail to do that, then we fail to have a solid child, and then we fail to have a solid adult, and then we fail to have a solid society. You see how your actions at home have a huge impact on the future of tomorrow? And it's their future. And people don't even realize it. Well, you know what? I think they just have the right to... I'm not going to teach them about God, and I'm not going to let them go to church. They just need to have the right to figure it out all out on their own. Are you crazy? Are you insane? Would you set your child on the bridge to let them go to see if they can figure out if they can fly? Absolutely not. Why would you send them to their death by not teaching them about God? Don't let a child want... Listen, you know what? I'm jumping way ahead, but I'm going to get there. No, I'm not. I'm going to wait. Because, man, I can't... Man, I get so excited about my message. I'm going to go and I can't do it because it'll ruin the other part. Okay. Parents, you stand in place of God with small children. You stand in place of God. You are to be their teacher, their director, their guider, their influencer. It's you. And if you fail to do your job, your child... And let me tell you this. There are some children out there, you know, all children may be cute, but not all children are likable. You know what I'm saying? There's some kids I want to string up. Or I want to string the parent up because the parent didn't string up the child. You ever run into a child like that? Where you just go, oh, here they come. God, give me the strength. I need it. It shouldn't be that way, man. It should be a joy. Listen, John Phillips says this, a child has to learn to respect, fear, and obey parental authority. This learning prepares the way for other and larger types of authority as they grow, as a child grows older and his spheres of interest enlarge. If a child does not learn obedience to parental authority, he will grow up to disrespect all authority, school authority, police authority, and eventually divine authority. Rebellion at home, if unchecked, grows up into brawling defiance of all authority. And it does. Man, I have a friend of mine, Jim, who comes here on the occasion. He's a principal of the school. And he tells me he had a child go up, spit in another child's face, and then slap him. And so, of course, the child has to go in, and Jim calls the parent in, and the parent comes in, and the parent's going, "That's what happened." And Jim says, "Hey," and the parent looks at the boy and says, "That's the way to do it, boy. That'll keep him from coming after you." And Jim said, "Okay. You got plenty of time at home to teach him something, because he's going with you and ain't coming back for 5 days." Unbelievable, the mentality of the parent. Listen, we have to teach him. And God takes serious the view of disrespect to parental authority, kids. Let me tell you something. He takes it serious. In the Old Testament, if a son... Oh, you're going to love this. Are you ready? If a son disrespected a parent in the Old Testament, do you know what happened to them? They were put to death. And you go, God wouldn't do that. Apparently he would. It's in his Bible. It's in his Word. It is his Word. Exodus 21:17. "And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." God says, "I'm not going to have this. I am not going to have disobedience. I'm not going to have disrespect. And if you do, you're going to be put to death." Now, how many are glad we live in an age of grace today? We don't have to live under that law that God had established. You know what else? God declared rebellion to be as the sin of witchcraft. If you're rebellious, that is of the sin of witchcraft. God's dealing with Saul in this passage, 1 Samuel 15:22-23. And he says, Samuel says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery." Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that leave that up there for me, please, for one more minute. Have you ever thought about that the sin of rebellion is as witchcraft? God abhors that. He abhors witchcraft. Then it says, "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Stubbornness. Now, I know nobody in here is stubborn toward God. Everybody submits to God's authority, right? Everybody surrenders and says, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it, because, Lord, I love you, and you're number one in my life, and I'm obedient, and I just want to show you that by my actions, and so whatever you ask me to do, I'll do." Everybody does that, don't we? Okay, so we don't. But do you realize that when we don't, it's idolatry? Do you know why it's idolatry? Because some of you are going, "Why is that idolatry?" It's idolatry because you're putting yourself higher than God. It's idolatry because you want for you more than you want for God. And therefore, you're putting yourself up here and you're putting God down here. And anything above God is idolatry. And he says, "Listen, that's idolatry. It's iniquity. It's sin." And of course, we have grace, and I don't have time to go to this passage, but I don't think I put it on your worksheet, Luke 15:11-32. If that's not on your worksheet, you can write that down. You can read it later. But here's what's happened. We have the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, he goes to his father and he says, "Listen, Dad, I want my half of the inheritance." And the dad says, "Okay." So he divides everything he has down the middle, and gives his son his half of his inheritance. And he goes, and the Bible says that he squanders it away. He throws it away on riotous living. Doing whatever he wants, spending money on anything he wanted. And of course, we don't do any of that in here. We have good budgets, and we stick to it. And we always give to God what's His, but this character, he didn't do that. And he goes out, and then all of a sudden he finds himself because the economy collapsed. Of course, we're not experiencing anything like that. The economy collapses, and when the economy collapses, he finds himself without any money. And he finds himself very hungry, so he hires himself out to somebody who hires him to do a job, and he takes and he does a job, and the job is to feed swine, pigs. To take care of this. Anybody ever feed pigs and you had to carry them slop buckets out there? Isn't that the nastiest thing? Man, I tell you what, that right there is like prison. Now you had to make everybody feed the pigs and walk, and that mess is hitting you because the bucket's so full and you're so weak and you're going like this, and then next thing you know, you smell like them. And and it's true. Some of you looking at me, I'm telling you, it's true. Yeah. And so he has to go feed the pigs, and he goes and he's feeding the pigs, and as he's feeding the pigs, he's giving them their food, and he's thinking to himself, man, I could even eat that. The slop. Now I'm telling you, if you've never fed the pigs, that slop is nasty. And he's so hungry, he says, man, I can even eat that. And then he thinks about his father, and he goes, you know what? My father has servants, and they're at home, and they have more than enough to eat. And then their stomach is full, and they're relaxed. What am I doing here? And so he heads home to his dad. And he gets there, and when he gets there, man, the dad falls on his neck. He sees him from afar off. He runs out there, and he falls on his neck, and he gives him a hug, and he tells his servants, he says, listen, prepare the fatted calf, get him a robe, get him a ring. The son is back. And I'm telling you, when we come back to God, he's just like that with us. He loves us, and he wants us back. He wants us to come unto him. Man, why? Because when we come unto him, we surrender ourselves. We realize that we're not up here and God's not down here, but it's just reverse. And so God loves that. Well, the father falls on his neck and he takes care of him, loves him and feeds him. They throw a big party. The other son who stayed there and who stayed diligent and served dad and, you know, what we would call the good one, he hears all the music. And so as he's going up, he tells one of the servants, he says, hey, what's going on? Servant says, your brother's home and your dad's killed the fatted calf and they're having a party, man. They're celebrating your brother's home. And that brother gets angry. And so he goes and the dad comes out and he says, son, won't you come in? And your brother's home. Your brother's home, man. This is a joyous day. And he wouldn't come in. And the Bible says that he begged him to come in. And he wouldn't come in. And the son's mad. And he says, why is it? You know what? I stayed here. I've done everything you said. And there he comes. You wouldn't even kill a goat for me. And he comes and you give him a fatted calf. And he's angry. And he won't listen to his dad. Let me tell you this. That son who stayed home and did everything he was supposed to do, he was just as rebellious in his heart as the one who took off and left. Don't confuse the two. Don't think, well, I'm the one that stayed home. Where is your heart? And God says, you know what? I'll have none of that. But He extends grace. And if you just surrender and go to Him, He'll open His arms up and He'll love you and He'll take care of you and He'll give to you. And man, He'll give you the fatted calf. But you got to surrender. We're so full of pride and arrogance and we think we know it all. We think we got it all. And God says, you don't have nothing. Don't you realize I can give you a little bug and you'll be done. You're alive because I love you. You're alive because I give you life. I give it, I take it away. Who are we to be arrogant and rebellious toward God? The Bible talks about the child. And he talks about how the rebellious child and what we should do with that rebellious child. He talks about how our heart condition should be. Proverbs 13:24. You're going to love this. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when they have time to forget about it, but promptly. You messed up, go to your room. Promptly. Proverbs 22:6. By the way, if you want, you can write this down. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen, establish the child when they're young and when they get older, even if they're rebellious, and they go and they start feeding swine, and they go, I gotta go home, I can't take this, and they come back home. Why are they coming home? Because they know better. They know what's at home. They know what's right. They know what's good. Guys, I'm telling you, we have got to start training up our children. In God's way, not our way. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Oh, give that verse to a liberal. Listen, the Bible is not telling you to abuse your child. The Bible is telling you to discipline your child. Consistently set rules and never move the boundary. Because listen, okay, today it's okay to be over here. Oh, today I got to be back here. What's up with mom and dad? They must be in a bad mood. They're not giving me what they used to give me. Oh, I can go up here again? Okay. See the confusion? They're basing what they do off of your emotions, and that's crazy. Or they go out where you always allowed them before, but all of a sudden today it's unacceptable because your mood is unacceptable, and now they're going to get in trouble. And the child's going, which way do I go? What do I do? Here's what you do. You say, this is the line right here. You cross it, I own you. You stay on your side and you do what's right, life is grand. Guess what? They know the line. There's nothing more frustrating for anybody, whether adult or child, to not know what to do because they don't know what the person expects from them, whether it be the boss or the parent. You understand what I'm saying? And how frustrating is it if you as an adult, you go into your work and you go, man, my boss changes his mind. He's like the weather, man. He's constantly raining. And so we get frustrated. We get frustrated. Well, a child is the same way. Inconsistency leads to inconsistent behavior. Inconsistency, as processed in the child's brain and even in the adult, causes anger, causes frustration, and it causes rebellion. Because you get tired of it. You get tired of the wishy-washy and the flip-flopping. 23:13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, did I skip one? Oh no, he's just kind of reiterating, beat your child. I'm just kidding. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Give that one to a liberal. Woo! And you know what? Some of you parents in your heart right now, you're sitting there and you're going, I would never spank my child. Or you spank your child, but it's like this. Stop it. I told you no more. Yeah, right. See, my children, I always made sure that the discipline was far more rememberable than listening. You know what I'm saying? If my children, and I'll just tell you, if somebody gets this, I might go to jail, I don't know, but if my children were disobedient, I had rules and I had punishment for the rules. Now as they're getting older, of course the spankings don't happen and or haven't in a long time. Maybe they're just being good kids. One could hope. And so, but what would happen is, listen, you messed up, there's a SWAT. A SWAT consisted of two spanks with a spatula on the butt. And when that came down, it came down with authority. It was firmness. Listen, it was calculated. I've never spanked my children in a fit of rage. Turn over. You don't want to turn over? We'll add one more. Oh, okay, I'm glad you listened. And you guys think I'm kidding you. I never abused my children. But I disciplined them, and I'd take the spatula, and it wasn't a little tiny one, man. I got a man spatula. I can flip 3-pound burgers with my spatula, and I would line up, kind of like practice swinging baseball. Bam! And it was just the elbow. I never went nothing like that. It was just a right on the butt. My children knew it. They knew what to expect. It hurt. It was like a vacuum sucking the air out of their lungs. You see them go, ah! You know what I'm saying? And the cheeks would get tight. And you guys know what I'm saying. Like they start bowing that way, you know? But listen, God says, and you go, well, I think spanking just causes them to be abusive when they get older and they learn to hit because you spank. Are you crazy? What's God say? Listen, Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Let your child know that you have the authority, and you're not going to... And by the way, you can start today. Not in here, take it home. But you can start today correcting your child. But be consistent. Don't start something and stop and start and stop. It just brings confusion. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And you go, what is that verse in there for? Because I want you to see, it's not just about beating and correcting your child. It is also about loving your child. It's also about talking right to your child. It's about lifting your child up. It's about encouraging your child, not discouraging your child. And that's why he says in 21, look, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. How do we provoke them? Man, we use words that are unfitly. We use words that destroy and that condemn. Listen, you might have had a bad childhood, but don't give it to your children. You might have been abused, but don't abuse your children. If they have dreams and goals, man, encourage them, push them, let them go toward it. As long as there's nothing ungodly about it, why wouldn't you? As a pastor, I've been told, well, you can't let your girls dance because that's sinful. That's Satan's behavior. They're dressed and they're not moving their booty in an ungodly way. What's wrong with letting them have a dance? You see what I'm saying, guys? You have to keep it level. Life is about balance. It's not all about, I am the king and it will be my way in my house or you can get out. Because your way may not work with their personality. So guess what you got to do? You got to make some adjustments. You have got to start working. Say, okay, how is my... Listen, my two girls are night and day. Night and day. I got to be night and day with them. Consistent. But your children are different. Your lives are different. Your childhood is different than their childhood. And I'm going to tell you, kids in today's society, man, they got a load on them. There's things on children today that we never seen growing up. Never. So what do we got to do? Man, do we combat it with absolutely rule of thumb authority and choke them out? Or do we figure out how we can come along beside them and say, look, I'm in this with you. Now, you go against authority, there's discipline. There's a price to pay. But hey, how about we just hold hands and get through this together? And I'll help you navigate because you know what? I've been down this road. You know why? God's given me wisdom now because I've already traveled. So how about I help you along? And sometimes we just got to let them go and feel the heat of the burner. You know what I'm saying? When I was a kid, we had a stove we had this fire. My mom, she held my hand over fire once, but there was this fire ring, and I'm looking at it, and my dad, we were camping, and my dad had thrown shingles in there, roofing shingles, you know, and because he was redoing the house by the lake and so on and so forth. Well, it really wasn't a house. It was a old school bus he converted into a camper and rigged up a thing on it, an awning type deal, and he was putting new shingles on it so we wouldn't get wet underneath because they started leaking through. I didn't want you to think I was like living on Lake Michigan in a grand. We had this barrel and he's throwing shingles in there and they were burning and I'm looking and I got mesmerized by this burning shingle and it was like lava running down through, you know. I don't know what I was thinking. I was mentally off that day. And so I'm looking at it and my brain said, how cool would it be to reach in there and scoop some of that up? And so at 9 years old, guess what I did? I wondered how cool it was, and I found out how cool it was. It wasn't cool, it was hot. And I had that stuff all over my hands, and it was sticking, and it was burning, and I'm crying, and they get me over to the water, and stick my hand in the water, and then they're yelling at me, why are you so stupid? Why did you do that? Don't you know that? And I'm going, no. If you'd have been there, you could have gave me wisdom. Listen, we have to give our children wisdom. Why? Because our children are not too intelligent sometimes. But when we stoop to the level and we just demand and just rule over and dominate, that crushes our children. Because let me tell you, it crushed you too if you had that over you. as parents, we have to be so careful. Number two, the principle of parental responsibility. I just jumped into a lot of that, so I'm going to have to roll on. But by the word provoke here in 321, fathers, do not provoke your children. That word provoke here literally means to rouse to anger, to fight, or to irritate. Do not provoke your children. And you say, well, if I spank them, that's going to provoke them. Don't get it mixed up, guys. Don't get mixed up your responsibility for their sin and then their inability to handle the emotion that comes with it. Don't confuse it. You do your job. If you do it right, the spanking doesn't create hatred. It might create irritation for a little while, but not hatred. The father's role is to be a dad, not a dictator. Just because at times you say you have to say no, you have to enforce it. But you don't have to be nasty in the process. That's all I'm saying, guys. You don't have to be nasty. Show love, extend love, love your children, raise them up. And I don't care what age they are, your child still looks to you. They really do. But you have got to set the example and teach them right. Don't cave in just because you're afraid of what they might think or do. Let them deal with their irrational behavior, especially when they're an adult. I have down here, and then the word discouraged means to be disheartened or to have their spirit broken. And guys, you don't want to break their spirit. We have to break a young child's will, especially when it's set in a defiant mode, but we must not break their spirit. There's a difference. You break their will, let them know that they can't have what they want. Listen, we're not animals, but God does say that we have to be trained. And children will submit if the parent is consistent with their behavior. The child will be consistent with theirs. Constantly nagging children can produce two opposite reactions. So, Dad, if you are constantly nagging your children, it can produce two opposite reactions. One, the child can become broken in spirit. And two, the child can become belligerent in spirit. And we see it, don't we? We see it. Your behavior will determine their behavior. Isn't that amazing? And guys, even if some of you have children and they're off on their own, but they're still going to come home, they're still going to call home, your behavior will determine their behavior. If you're ungodly and uncontrolled in your actions, guess what happens to them? They respond in the same manner. Guess what happens then? It's called eruption. You're the adult. Show wisdom, grace, mercy, love, truth. But you have to do it in a manner that's going to be received. Because if you just do it because, well, they should know better. In their mind, they're going, you're the parent and you should know better too. And we have a battle. Guys, we have to do it in a rightly, godly fashion. Parental responsibility involves setting standards, defining limits, and enforcing discipline. Setting standards, defining limits, and enforcing discipline. Guys, listen, we can't have chaos. Chaos creates chaos. These things need to be done intelligently, reasonably, and lovingly. Being a parent involves awesome responsibility and, listen to this, accountability to God. You're held accountable for your actions. God said children are a gift from Him. Something to be treasured. You wouldn't treat your beloved 68, 69 Camaro that way, or your 65 Mustang, or your beautiful truck that you just bought, four-door Silverado, four-wheel drive. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. Or your Saab. I'm working on it. I got the engine out of my Saab this weekend. Yes, now I'm going to build it. It'll be the fastest thing on the highway. My wife will hate it. I'll love it. The world's good. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Hopefully this week I have it put together. But here's the thing. You don't abuse the things you treasure, is my point. Why abuse your children? God's going to hold you accountable for your actions. True wisdom is found in God's word. The books of Ecclesiastes, now I want you to write this down if you wish, but the books of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, they're full of advice. Good advice. And so guys, if you're struggling, go and read these books. And they're all in one, so it's easy to carry. In Proverbs, Solomon looked at life from the standpoint of his maturity. So if you go to Proverbs, it's all, you're going to see it from Solomon's standpoint of maturity, and there's some good stuff. If you read a Proverbs chapter a day in Proverbs, there's 31. So you can, in 1 month, you can read the entire book. And read one a day, because there's more than enough for you to try to digest and handle, but it's fantastic. And then in Ecclesiastes, Solomon looks at his life from the standpoint of his mistakes. He starts reflecting. He starts looking back. He realizes what he's done wrong and how he's done it wrong. And he says, you know what? This is what I should have done, and this is how I should have handled it. And listen, don't do this, because I'm giving you wisdom here, the wisest man in all the world. I'm giving you wisdom here. You need to listen up. And if you don't listen up, by the way, the Bible also says, but I didn't put this verse down. I was going to for the fun of it. Then I thought some would be offended, so I didn't. It's God's word. Why should I care if you're offended? But it said the person who despises correction, are you ready for this? Is stupid. Doesn't sound too intelligent, but it's dead on, isn't it? Literally, that's what it says. I mean, a one that despises correction is stupid. That's what God's word says. Of course, that's none of you in here, so we're okay. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, maturity and mistakes. If you're struggling, go there. It's a good starting place. Be the parent. Do your job, but do it with the love of God. Do it with the consistency of God. And children, you obey your parents in all things. In all things, or else I'm going to pray the old law comes back. Now, I wouldn't do that, but I would pray that I could be the parent God's called me to be, and my children will be the children that God wants them to be. And if we both get on the same page, we have a glorious life and a glorious home. If we don't, and we have dominators or just pure rebellion or both slamming one another, you have dynamite in your house, and it's bad. And both need to correct their actions. Both are wrong. And if you're that way with God, you need to fix it. Because you're wrong. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be very difficult. No, it is impossible to show the love of God, because you don't know God. And the only way we can know God, according to Jesus, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus says. And so if you're here today and you never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you never surrendered to His authority, then the Bible says that you're not a child of God's. And if you're not a child of God's, you don't go to heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that your father is the devil. Those are harsh words. But what God's saying is, if you don't receive Christ as Savior, if you don't believe that He died on the cross for your sins, if you don't believe that He shed His blood to cover your sins so that when you invited Him into your heart, you get to heaven. If you don't believe that, then hell is your home. It's very unfortunate, but very true. And what we believe does not change the truth. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can fix that. Don't do it because I'm scaring you into it, because that's not my goal. You do it because, number one, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Number two, you believe that Jesus Christ conquered the grave. you believe that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And if you believe that, then the next thing the Bible says is you have to receive. How do we receive? Well, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. And listen, it's not the words that save you. It's your heart attitude that you really believe the words. You pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I've messed up. I know that I have not been perfect. I know that I am a sinner. And right now, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me and that you come into my heart. Save my soul. That heaven would be my home.